This podcast may contain language that's not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Today we're doing Lars and the Fake Girl. Oh, wait, no. No, sorry. Lars and the Real Girl. So if you haven't seen it and don't want us to ruin it for you, you might want to pass on this one, and we will see you next time.
Oh, are you ready
for one dry kiss?
For one dry kiss. Yay!
Why you gotta upstage me for? That was my one little line I have. You gotta upstage me with one little line.
Do you want to do the second part?
Are you trying
part?
To say I didn't do it good?
No.
Are you trying to say I didn't do it good enough? Okay.
I was just following the song. I was just following the song, Free to Be You and Me. I thought that I was free to be me and you. No, not me and you, but free to be me. Yeah.
And you even threw a little dance in there. Threw a little dance, a little arm pumping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I see you. I'll see you.
You can dance. You can dance. Having the time of your life.
Oh, for fuck's. Oh, my God.
Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy reference.
It's a Corinne happy hour.
It's Corinne's karaoke hour. Forget about One Dry Kiss. Welcome to One Dry Kiss, our cussy reverent love letter to rom-coms, where we recap one Free to Be You and Me movie in the month of April. Today we are doing Lars and the Real Girl, and I am here with my co-host, the person who I feel so free to be me with because she accepts me for me, Miss Tamara Cosio.
And I am here with my co-host, Corinne, who now I'm looking at with slight side eyes, wondering when the day's going to come that she's going to get so power hungry that she's going to spend 12 minutes singing songs in the intro before actually doing the intro. And I'm just going to have to be a willing participant on the other end.
I'm just waiting for you to jump in and start singing along with me. Join the party. Join the party.
Okay. I didn't know the first song, though. I mean, I knew it, but I didn't know it. So
I know it's very back in like the 70s brain of like, that sounds kind of familiar and slightly comforting. Huh?
Yeah. I feel like I should have feathered hair and bell bottoms.
Oh, my gosh. Feathered hair. Corinne's dream. No, Free to Be You and Me is this revolutionary album that was done with Marlo Thomas and a bunch of other amazing people in the 70s and is all about being awesome. And so it was part of our sort of the 70s growing up culture, part of that sort of thing. So yay for, you know, the revolution of being us. And I gotta say, I'm very excited about Lars and the Real Girl. It is one of my...
I was gonna say, that song's really fitting for the theme today.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, I love this movie.
Really?
Yes. Big time.
Oh my God, I would not have guessed. If you said, what's one of my favorite movies, Lars and the Real Girl, not even on my radar.
Absolutely one of my favorite movies of all time. And I love seeing Lars step into his own and become more him. So I'm super excited to dive into this movie.
Oh, I watched it with my friend Larry, my beau. And he was just like all the way, what is happening? Is that her doll?
Yeah.
Like, never heard of the movie at all. So watching it with like fresh eyes, and he was just like, I just like turned my head and he was just like looking at me bewildered. But yeah, we watched the whole thing together.
You know, the movie, it's a journey. It's a real journey. I'm sure that Larry went on a
sure
real
is.
Journey watching it as well. And, you know, before this movie came out, I was reading this webcomic way back in the day, and they mentioned a real doll, and I was like, what's a real doll? Because they kept on kind of, like, mentioning it in the webcomic. And so I was at work, and I was just like, oh, let me type this into the... Oh, that's what a real doll is. Okay.
Corinne, if you were a real doll character, your introduction would be like, hi, my name is Corinne. Do you like graphic tees and harmonizing? Come see if you're enough for me.
I always have a song deep in my throat.
Oh. Yes. You made it way dirtier than I was going, but I am so glad you did.
What about you, Tam? What about you?
Oh, I don't know. I did yours.
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Tamara.
Is that what I sound like?
Do you love design and long, hard strokes of a brush? Well,
I'd love to
meet you.
You can see MYK in my RGB.
Ooh, yes, yes.
Oh, God.
So when this movie came out, I was like, seriously? No. 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 What was this?
Yeah.
And then I saw the movie and I was like, oh, my gosh, they managed to make a really sensitive movie out of this. Okay. All right. I'm here for it.
I do have to say that Ryan Gosling had a lot to do with it. He played that character, Lars, so well. Like,
yeah.
With the, like, tenderness and vulnerability and...
Yeah.
He really did a good job with this.
I feel a lot like Lars in a lot of ways on the inside. And so I was along for his journey.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah. So, anyways... Can't wait for us to dive in. Miss Tamara, do you have a synopsis for us?
Yes, I have a synopsis. It's my second week doing a synopsis because Corinne was good enough to do the fucking outline again because I'm going out of town this weekend and she's a goddamn saint. So if you're wondering why we're not toggling back and forth like we usually do, you got two synopsises for me 2 weeks in a row.
Ooh.
Deal with that, motherfuckers.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
Synopsis. Lars, played by Ryan Gosling, is a complicated young man. He grew up in the same small town with his older brother Gus, played by Paul Schneider, but still feels socially awkward around the people he's known his whole life. This intensifies when his sister-in-law Karen, played by Emily Mortimer, gets pregnant. Lars's own mother died in childbirth, and his anxiety reaches a fever pitch. His solution? Get a real girl sex doll named Bianca, played by a piece of plastic.
True. True, true.
To accompany him to all his social obligations. This surprises his family and the town, but they surprise Lars right back. Find out how with us as we meet Lars and the real girl.
Yay!
Oh. Corinne?
Yes?
Do you want to dive us into this real, real movie about Lars and a real, real girl?
I am ready to unwrap the real girl realness of it all. It's early Sunday morning and 27-year-old Lars, played by Ryan Gosling, looks out of the window of the converted garage he lives in at his brother's house and the bleak winter landscape in front of him. Lars sees the back door open and quickly ducks next to the window. Nope, he's not here. La 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 la, not here at all. That's how I am when people knock on my door. But Karen, played by Emily Mortimer, who is Lars' sister-in-law, is insistent and won't leave. Ryan pops in front of the front door window and Karen hopefully invites him to breakfast. But Ryan says he can't. He has to go to church. Emily pushes. What about after church? Ryan opens the door and kind of agrees and gives Emily a small afghan saying, wrap that around yourself. I don't want the baby getting cold. Emily runs back to the house, triumphantly crawling back into bed, saying to her hubs, Gus, you owe me $5. Your brother is coming to breakfast after church. Gus responds, I wouldn't count on it. Let's just see what happens.
I used to be like that in my 20s. Like, I would get so much anxiety when I heard a knock on the door. Now I'm just like, come on. Come on, go ahead, knock on my door. I, like, have way more agency around my life, but people would ask me to go to things, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be kind of busy. And then just now I'm like, yeah, I don't feel like going. Sorry. Got too much stuff going on right now. Have a good time, though. I'm so glad I'm not. That was an awkward and very, very uncomfortable phase that I went through. So I can sympathize with Lars peeking out the window going, no, please, dear God, don't stop at my door. But I'm better now.
Yeah, you know, you're just saying no. That's what you're not saying, oh yeah, now I do all these things. You're like, no, I just say no to the things.
Yes. Before I'd feel bad and like lollygag and ho and hum and him and haw and oh, and don't want people to feel bad or get their feelings hurt. Now I'm like, yeah, you'll be fucking fine without me. You're gonna be fine.
I'm not gonna be fine without you, Tam. I'm not. I'm sorry, but I'm not.
Okay, I'm just saying most other people that do a lot of inviting are going to be just fine.
Lars goes to church sitting in the back by himself. A cute blonde in the choir eyes him as he sits there all by his lonesome.
Is he by himself, Corinne? Is he by himself?
All by his lonesome. If I were to go to church right now, I'd be like, okay, I'm going to try and find a seat by myself. None of y'all bitches better sit anywhere near me. Just leave me alone. And after my sister died, I was like so grateful that you came to visit me, Tam, because otherwise there would have been all these people being like, Corinne needs to have people around her. And I was like, no, I just want to be left alone. I don't need to have people around me.
Oh, God. Yeah. Yep, I feel you.
But instead, my mom was able to say, like, oh, she's got Tam with her. And I was like, thank goodness, because you were perfect. But if there hadn't been you, I just would have wanted to be alone.
Yeah. And nobody would understand that, I'm sure. They'd be like, no, you can't be alone right now. No. Yes, I can. Yeah.
I'm going to be okay. Just seriously. Leave me alone. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. See, I'm glad that you said that. Now I don't feel so bad when we were watching the Two Tickets to Paradise and outlining it. And I was like, when the girl got stood up at the altar and sat right next to Ryan Pavey, and I was like, bitch, go sit over there. There's like 12 empty benches and you're going to come sit right next to me. Inappropriate.
Yes. No, I completely agree.
Good.
Although I'd want to sit next to Ryan Pavey. Hello. I know. You're sitting there by yourself? Weak.
I know.
And I just like scooch on over closer and closer throughout the service.
You're like 12 benches away. He turns his head. Then you're 9.
Yeah.
He turns his head again. Then you're 5. And you just keep closing in like a goddamn great white.
Lars suddenly ducks down in the perch pew. In the church pew. Fidgets around and puts a couple of small toys on the edge of the pew, covering his face sheepishly when one falls. I'm not exactly sure why he did that.
Me either. I was like, oh, the little boy's toys? Because they had like a little boy in the foreground and he was like fidgeting and they were kind of close to the little boy. And he was like, I'm going to play with these toys with this little boy. And the little boy was like completely ignoring him. So I'm like, wait, are those your toys, Lars? Or are they the boy's toys? Or did you just like fling it across the pew and he's going to spend 25 minutes trying to find it once the service is over? Thanks.
Yeah, I wasn't quite sure about that, but I was looking for like the little kid that he was trying to interact with. And maybe there was a little kid that he was supposed to be interacting with, but the little kid wasn't biting and he just had to kind of like work with it. And that's why he was just like, ooh, boonk. Okay, ending scene now. When the service ends, he helps Mrs. Gruner, carry a large bouquet of flowers out of her to her car. It's her turn to take them to the hospital after the service. As Lars carries the flowers, Mrs. Gruner questions Lars about his relationship status, peppering him with questions. We find out he's single and he's not gay. Mrs. Gruner advises, well, it's best not to leave things too long, because as we all know from Hallmark movies, you must be in a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so relieved that Tamara didn't leave things too long. She just got it all together.
How dare you? I had Melody the pod dog. She was my backup.
Mrs. Gruner hands him a carnation and suggests, give this to somebody nice. She gets into her Cadillac and then Lars hears a soft, sweet voice from behind him. Hello, Lars. He swiftly tosses the carnation towards some trees and turns around him. Ditch the flower! Oh, ditch the flower!
That was the favorite part of my movie. Like, I literally stopped it, guffawed for a few seconds, and then made Larry come in and watch it because he was in the kitchen making his bag. I was like, oh my God, you gotta see this. This is awesome. He's like, nope, I'm not giving you that flower.
No romantic gesture here.
Maybe he's giving his carnation to that nice tree over there, and perhaps it's his precursor to his plastic companion. Hmm? He's like throwing the carnation and betting on love wherever it may hit him.
Okay. I see you and your
impromptu matchmaking.
Yeah. You're trying to ship everyone. I mean, hey. Lars in the tree. It's the story before Lars and the real girl.
Lars in the bush.
And it's not that horrible Shel Silverstein book about the giving tree, which is terrible.
Oh, God, I hope that tree's not giving him anything. That would just be wrong.
The cute girl and Lars stare at each other awkwardly, smiling, and finally she says, "Well, see you at work tomorrow." Lars quickly agrees. "Yeah, see you," turns around and sprints to his car. There's practically a trail of dust behind him. When he gets home, he evades his brother and sister-in-law, quickly dashing into his converted garage home. Karen tries to snag him for breakfast before he goes in, but is unsuccessful. She's not giving up on him, though. She's concerned about Lars isolating himself. And I think she's very well-intentioned. I do not blame her for her concern.
Yeah, but then at the same time, like, we just had the conversation about you mourning and wanting to be alone and people being like, you shouldn't be alone. Maybe he should be alone. Maybe he just needs, like, space and time. Although it seems like he's kind of been this way for a while.
Yeah.
According to the movie.
For a very long time.
But it's like, yeah, 5-6 years too long to isolate. There's no quarantine. He just wants to be alone.
I want to be alone. Yes.
To each their own. All right. The next day at work, Cindy, the receptionist, greets Lars warmly and suggests to him that he date Margot, the new girl. Lars awkwardly smiles, responds with a hmm, and heads behind the doors to his cubicle, which he shares with Kurt, a porn-obsessed action figure-loving coworker that I'm pretty sure is an incel. What delight does Kirk have to share with Lars this Monday? A real doll. Look, he exclaims. You can design your own woman, choose their hair color, eyes, boob size, everything, and you can even have sex with them. We should point out that he's looking at this real girl on his computer. He doesn't just have one in their cubicle there giving a presentation. Lars flicks his eyes towards Kurt's computer screen and quickly turns towards his own monitor. Margot comes in and, she's the cute blonde woman from the choir. She tries suggesting to Lars that they carpool together. Kurt turns his music up super loud. Lars prompts him to use his headphones, which he does, and then Kurt turns to Lars saying, hey, it's your turn for coffee. Lars is relieved, an excuse not to talk to Margot. He scurries off, and Kurt glares at Margot. You know what your problem is? You're too overeager. Margot knows Kurt is an ass and pays him no mind and turns around heading to her desk. You're just mad, Kurt, because I'm not interested in you and your weird butt.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't say that I did. That evening, when Lars gets in, Karen is determined. She dashes in front of his car with her flashlight, knocking away all his excuses. And when he tries to make a break for his garage, she literally tackles him, refusing to let him up. And next thing we know, we see Lars pushing salmon around on his plate, sitting at a table with Gus and Karen. Karen clears everyone's plates and suggests the brothers talk while she cleans up. Gus looks uncomfortable, and Lars looks even more uncomfortable. But his brother starts. Karen's worried about you being alone all the time, but I know you're like Dad. Lars glances at Gus. I'm fine, and I'm not like him. I can be around people, Gus argues. Dad could be around people, but... Oh, well, that was before Mom died, so you wouldn't have known. He tries again. We'd love it if you moved in with us. You know, this place is half yours. Lars looks like he wants to throw a cartoon black circle on the ground and disappear into it, but silently sticks it out until Karen appears with leftovers for him, and Lars rushes outside. This banner writing crew, when I first read that, I LOL'd. I do have to say, when I was watching this with Larry and he saw that first scene, he's like, why doesn't he live in the house with them? Why is he in the back in a garage? And I was like, just watch. Shh, you'll see.
He needs his own space. He needs his own space. Gosh darn it. He needs his own space.
I don't want to live in the pink room. Okay. But silently sticks it out until Karen appears with leftovers for him and Lars rushes outside. She tries offering him the leftovers, but he instead asks for the blanket he loaned her. Give me the blanket. Gus rushes in to get the blanket and Karen says, Gus told me your mom made that for you when she was pregnant. It's really beautiful. Lars stands there uncomfortably rocking back and forth on his feet, a giant thought bubble above his head saying, blanket, 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 blanket. When Gus hands him the blanket, Lars doesn't take the leftovers and hustles swiftly back to his garage with his prized possession in his hands. If his mom made him that blanket and he is well into his 20s at least, it is in extremely good condition. That thing should be tattered and rags by now.
I have some Afghans from childhood that look amazing because that yarn is made out of, I don't know what kind of superpower material it is, but yeah, it looks, they look really good.
Do you wear it every day though?
He wears it around his neck like a little scarf, like a little scarf.
He does. Later in the movie, we'll find out that he wears that scarf or that blanket around his neck like a scarf or his woobie, and it is in way too good condition. Movies do better with aging your items. I'm just saying. Ongoing theme, still occurring here in a regular movie.
I would totally be like Lars, except I would take the leftovers because I'd be like, I don't have to cook. Thank you.
I know. Like, Lars, leftovers, Lars.
Seriously.
What are you thinking?
Seriously.
Maybe she's a horrible cook. Maybe this all is just like a misunderstanding. He doesn't want to come over because she's shit in the kitchen.
Well, in most scenes, we see Gus doing stuff in the kitchen. So, you know, that may very well may be true that Karen just should not be in the kitchen.
Yes.
Actually, that's one of the things that I really liked about this movie is in a lot of the scenes, they show Gus doing household things. A lot of times in movies, frequently, they don't show men just doing like, oh, here I am doing the dishes and here I am like folding laundry and, you know, here I am doing these things. Instead, they're just like, oh, here I am in front of the TV with a beer or here I am, you know, like whatever, like mowing the lawn. So
I didn't even notice that, probably because I can open that door right over there and see my guy doing dishes for the dinner that he made last night that we ate leftovers from today. It's a glorious thing, I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, and my dad's like that too, but I would say in most cases the guys that I've dated have not had that problem, sadly.
Well, it's probably because he's a single dad and had to care for his son all those years, so he had no choice.
My dad was just born to be a house husband.
Sure was.
The next thing we know, we see the words 6 weeks later flash onto the screen. And there's a delivery coming. A 6-foot tall box arrives, and Lars gets a call at work from Karen. They just delivered a huge box for you. We put it in the garage. Lars super casually responds, oh, a box, you say? Okay, thanks. He rushes home after work and enters his garage. And there, next to his twin bed, is a large box. He closes his drapes and starts to pretty himself up, brushing his teeth, taking a shower, changing into a nice sweater and a nice pair of slacks. Things are a-changing for Lars. But how? Well, much to Gus's surprise, he receives a knock on the door from Lars, who waits expectantly. Gus invites in Lars, who is doing the signature smooth guy one arm lean in front of the door. But Lars predictably stays outside. What is not predictable is, he asks, is Karen going to come? Let's just leave the door open on this snowy evening. KKK, totally cool. Karen is thrilled. It's so Hallmark. They're like, hey, let's just leave the door open. Let out all the warm air on this frigid, frigid tundra.
Oh my God, you have a thing with doors.
I do. The energy savings. You're lit. The world is melting down and it's all because you left this door open.
I know. I ruined the world. I'm sorry.
Leaving doors open and faucets running. Two things.
Oh, you would have hated the other day. We went to Food for Less by our house over here. And for the longest time, they must have just like either had a freaking catastrophe or something. That they had no glass in the freezer section. They just had doors with nothing there.
Wow.
Larry's like, oh, great, great, great energy saving, guys. And you're really keeping your stuff cold, aren't you? And then we went back to buy some corned beef for St. Patrick's Day, and they finally enclosed them. We were so thrilled. Way too thrilled. I sound so fucking old with how thrilled I was.
When you said corned beef, section. The rest of what you said just like disappeared. How is that corned beef? I love corned beef.
Oh, delicious. Corned beef and cabbage with some potatoes.
Ooh.
It's delicious.
Sounds nice.
Oh, yes. Larry was thrilled. He goes, oh, my God, I haven't had this since my mom ate it when I was little. You're so great. And you make corned beef.
Aww.
He looked like he was going to cry. Okay, he didn't look like he was going to cry. I just think he, like, in my mind, he did.
Karen is thrilled that Lars is there. And when she arrives at the doorway, Lars announces that he's got a visitor. He met her on the internet, but she's not from around here and doesn't really speak English well. Plus, she's in a wheelchair. They assure him they're totally cool with everything. He then nervously puts forth the big ask. You see, she's pretty religious, and the two of us staying in the garage is pretty unseemly. Karen assures him, oh, she can totally stay with us. We'll give her the pink room. We have new towels and everything. Lars's face lights up upon hearing that. Karen insists, just give us 30 minutes to pick up and get ready and put something in the oven, and then y'all can come on over. Karen bustles off, and Gus looks at Lars. Well, this is quite a surprise. You quiet ones. Well, I'm so happy for you. Looking forward to seeing you both shortly. Next, we see Gus and Karen, each sitting in a chair in the living room, looking distinctly uncomfortable. Across from them on the couch is Lars, and sitting next to him is Bianca, a very voluptuous real doll. Bianca has long brown hair, brown eyes, very full lips, and has a flat affect on her face. She stares off into the distance in her long-sleeved fishnet top with gold lamé tank, gold lamé miniskirt, fishnet stockings, and knee-high boots. Lars explains, Bianca was a missionary. She was raised by nuns, but now she's on sabbatical so she can experience the world. Isn't that neat? Karen,
I don't think I expected a nun to dress so provocatively. Yeah. I was like, oh, you're going to go with the nun? I mean, she is on sabbatical, so maybe she's just flying her freak flag while she can. Nun's gone wild.
You know, nun's gone wild. Nothing says holiness like fishnets, huh? Because they're holy.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Jesus. Jesus.
Is that how you go to church then, Corinne, with your fishnet stockings and your see-through fishnet shirt?
All the time. Holy, holy, holy. Like fishnets.
Yes.
Oh,
literally.
And
I am holier than thou and holier than thou and holier than thou.
And Jesus, there's all these times when he goes out onto the sea with the disciples and they fish. And
oh, so you're all well prepped.
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I got my fishnets ready. And then who knows? Mm. Maybe next thing you know, I'll be walking on water.
Okay. Okay. Hold on. Now, that's just ridiculous. That's just ridiculous. You're going a little too far.
Me hanging out with Jesus, not too far. Me walking on water with Jesus, no. Now that's another story entirely.
That's just blasphemy.
I did like her new knee-high boots. The rest of the outfit I wasn't real fond of, but like the knee-high boots, I was like, oh, those are kind of cute.
Yeah, I don't imagine you can get some really demure attire from the Real Girl website when you're building your doll.
No, and I think that as busty as Bianca was, I think that was as small as you could get your Real Girl's doll busts. Yeah.
Do you want Bianca with a gold lamé miniskirt or some sensible slacks? Or perhaps you'd like some cargo shorts? Meow.
Cargo shorts. Yeah, I can't. Unless it's like the Laura Croft kind of cargo short where it's like,
you never know, that might be his thing. That might be he gets her in different clothes, so maybe
too sweet.
He would have started out that way had he had the choice.
Lars explains, Bianca was a raised by nuns. Yes. We all know she's holy because she wears fishnets. Karen and Gus blink at Lars and Bianca. Karen eventually asks, are you hungry? Lars, smiling happily, responds, oh yeah, we're both starving. Karen says, great, Gus, will you join me in the kitchen so we can get the meal on the table? Gus promptly gets up and rushes to the kitchen while Lars pats Bianca's leg, reassuringly whispering to her, see, everything is going to be okay. In the kitchen, Gus makes a head exploding motion, and Whisper yells, What the fuck? My brother has lost it. We're going to have to hospitalize him. Karen shushes him. I know this is unexpected, but we're going to figure this out. In the meantime, let's just go with it. She clumps four handfuls of salad hastily into four different bowls and hands two to Gus before she grabs two for herself and heads towards the dining room. Gus whisper yells after her, Karen, Karen, she's not going to eat. But we find out Bianca does eat. Well, kind of. Lars lovingly cuts up her food and grabs bites of food from her plate with his fork. Gus and Karen sit silently eating around the table, and Lars does another big ask. So, it just makes me so mad, but you're not going to believe this. Bianca's luggage was stolen. Gus blankly responds, oh, that's just terrible. Lars agrees. I know. So I was wondering, he turns to Bianca and says to her, no, it's not going to be a problem. Don't worry about it. And he turns back to Gus and Karen and asks, Karen, can Bianca borrow some of your clothes? Gus and Karen do some more blinking. Blink, 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 blink.
Perhaps some sensible slacks or cargo shorts, am I right?
Yeah. Karen's brain hamster isn't exactly sure, because once they get Bianca out of that fishnet outfit, guess who's going to get a dress up in it? Karen. Oh, yeah. Huh? You ever thought about that?
Yeah, she's already pregnant. She can't get even more pregnant.
Get your freak on. Get your freak on. Get your, get your, get your, get your. So, Karen's brain hamster isn't exactly sure how to work the wheel anymore. But after enduring some more beseeching looks from Lars, she responds, well, I just don't think our styles are really the same. Lars chuckles. Oh, don't worry about Bianca. She's not superficial like that. Karen finally says after spending a hot minute trying to envision the very busty Bianca in her clothes. Yeah, of course she can borrow some of my clothes.
It's just so hard to envision Lars actually picturing Bianca flying to him, and that's her travel outfit. That's what she chooses to wear on the plane in his mind. I don't know what's worse.
I just think it's what she came with, and I think it may be like one of the more covering looks of the options that he had, because she was covered.
Yeah, no, she was.
And yep. Holy. Very holy just, looking.
Okay, so I know it's a movie, and it would have been more seedy and sordid if he did have Bianca stay in his little garage house. Why didn't he? Like, why didn't he take advantage of the anatomically correct real girl and get some bow chicka bow now while he had it?
Because it wasn't about the bow chicka bow bow. It was about having someone significant in his life and having a relationship.
You know what comes with relationship? Sex. Just saying.
I think that, you know, he sees Kurt over there being a smarmy McSmarmington, and he's like, I'll be like that.
Yes, but if it wasn't for Kurt, you wouldn't have a real doll now, would you? Credit where credit is due.
Truth. Kurt the incel did inspire Lars to get a real doll, shockingly.
Yes. After dinner, Lars brings Bianca upstairs to the Rose Room, which was apparently his mom's room, and he has an extended conversation with Bianca while Gus and Karen stand by the door waiting for him to leave. Gus eventually says, okay, time for bed, and Lars reluctantly starts getting up. As he heads down the hall, Karen stops him. You know, Gus is concerned about Bianca's health with the traveling, change of climate and everything. I'll make an appointment with Dr. Berman tomorrow. Gus chimes in, yeah, with the stress and everything, we'll all go. Lars takes a moment and asks Gus, you think it's a good idea? And his brother says, yeah, I do. So Lars concurs, yeah, that sounds great, because I was going to go wheelchair shopping tomorrow, so that works out perfect. Once Lars is back in his garage, Karen and Gus do a little independent research. Karen finds out that Bianca is anatomically correct in all ways, and Gus finds the packing slip and spends a little time on the real doll site looking at Tammy, who's a real cowgirl. Do you think you can handle her? And other real dolls. It's like the American Girl dolls, but for adults, because they all have stories and backgrounds and accessories.
Ooh.
And you can screw them. That's also very different.
That's not for the real girl. No, the screwing part, not for real girls. I mean, American girls. Yeah.
It's a distinct difference between the American girls and the real girls. One very huge difference. That night in bed, Gus is all full of what the fuck, but Karen soothes him. Dr. Berman is also a psychologist. It doesn't matter what other people think. We're here for Lars and we're going to take things one step at a time. Dr. Berman will know what to do. The next day, the foursome rides to the doctor's office, with Lars sitting in the back seat with Bianca, pointing out significant landmarks to her as they drive by. Gus is not happy with the situation, and Karen is trying to talk a little to Bianca because it is what it is right now. At the doctor's office, we find out that Dr. Berman is played by the most amazing Patricia Clarkson of Easy A and Friends with Benefits fame. Those are my two favorite movies that she's in. Those aren't just the ones she's only famous for. Those happen to be my two top picks with her.
I love her in The Station Agent, personally.
I don't think I've seen that.
Well, it was a contender for the Free to Be You and Me month, and it will definitely happen.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Promises, promises.
It's got Peter Dinklage in it, too.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
The doctor takes Bianca's blood pressure while Lars looks on, his baby blanket around his neck like a tiny scarf. Dr. Berman lets him know that Bianca's blood pressure is very low and she'll need to see Bianca for weekly special treatments. Lars checks with Bianca to make sure it's okay and then agrees. While Lars schedules Bianca for her special treatments, Gus and Karen meet with the doctor secretly or alone. She explains that he's actually doing okay and probably just processing through something. He seems to be suffering from a delusion, and the best thing that Gus and Karen can do for their brother is go along with it. Gus is very resistant, but Karen is reluctantly on board. Gus resigns himself. Fine, but everyone is going to laugh at him. Dr. Berman eyes him. And they'll laugh at you, too. So encouraging. Let's go ahead and throw that in. They're also going to be laughing at you, the family. And with that, Gus and Karen leave the office, walking into the lobby to find Lars sitting next to Bianca, who has a four-year-old on her lap. And Lars beams at his brother and sister-in-law and says, Bianca just loves children. All right, what the fuck was the mom thinking? Does she not know that that was a real girl doll? And be like, oh my God, how fun. They have like a life-size like doll in this office. Let me let my son crawl all over him.
If you are a parent, you take every opportunity you can to have somebody else look after your kid. So just be like, yeah. Oh.
Sure, that's not weird or remotely problematic to let your kid go play with a man in his life-size anatomically correct doll, I guess. You know, as long as they're still in an eyesight, it's fine.
Uh-huh, sure. I just love how Dr. Berman's like, yeah, you know, Lars, her blood pressure's really low. It's like, yeah, like zero. Her blood pressure is zero. There's no blood pressure going on here whatsoever. She ain't lying when she says it's low.
I'm having a hard time detecting a pulse. She feels a little cold and clammy. Her eyes are slightly glazed over.
She doesn't blink. This could be an issue if she's part of a cult. The next morning at breakfast, Lars is over at Gus and Karen's, and Karen pours Lars some coffee, asking him, does Bianca want some? Lars looks over at Bianca, pauses a beat, and says, yes. After the coffee is poured, Lars glances over at Bianca and responds, yeah, sure. He gets some sugar and stirs it into her cup, and Gus is over it. I entitle this section, Gus Speaks the Truth.
Mm-hmm.
Lars asks Gus, are you going to work today? Gus responds, no, I'm not feeling well. Lars is concerned. Oh, no. Bianca can help. She has nurse's training. Gus rolls his eyes. No, she doesn't. She doesn't have nurse's training, Lars. Lars turns to Bianca, and Bianca and Lars silently converse while Gus drops some hard truth knowledge on Lars. Bianca is not a person. She's a big plastic thing. Lars turns, smiling back to Gus. That's just amazing. Did you hear that? Bianca just said that's why God made her, to help people. Karen asks Lars, are you going to be late for work? Lars cheerily realizes that yes, he is. He gets up, holding his blankie, and whispers to Bianca before he heads out the door. I just want to tell you, you look really pretty today. And he hustles out the door. He says over his shoulder, I'll be calling to check in. Karen cheerily responds, okie dokie. And Lars heads off to work.
Checking in for what? Is she still sitting there? Yes. 2 hours later, she's still sitting there? Yep. 2 hours later, still there? Uh-huh.
How's Bianca doing? She's she's good. She's just holding it down. Holding it all down.
Yeah.
At work, he warmly greets Cindy, the receptionist, letting her know she was looking really good today. Cindy, the receptionist, is played by the amazingly wonderful Karen Robinson, who plays Ronnie in Schitt's Creek and Aunt Cassandra in the Hallmark Mystery Movies Morning Show Mysteries. Yay!
One of our favorite themes.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Yeah, that was not...
Ooh, that was a rough month.
That was a rough month. That was a rough month for me as well. Writing those out was not fun. Yeah. But she was a delight as Aunt Cassandra in the Morning Show Mysteries movies. She is one of my favorite actresses. She's fantastic. Cindy excitedly gives Lars a card inviting him to her birthday party. Let's try reading that again. I'm reading it like a real doll. Cindy, no, if I were reading it like a real doll, I'd be like, Cindy excitedly gives Lars a card inviting him to her birthday party. Lars happily...
Nope, if you were reading it like a real doll, you'd read it like this.
Tam's just blankly staring at me. Oh, she got her mouth open. Like, yeah. Nice. Nice one. Oh, she's like, I'm done. Mic drop. Good night. Leaves me with some pasta salad to finish the podcast.
Noodle salad.
Noodle salad.
How dare you?
Noodle salad. Excuse me. Cindy excitedly gives Lars a card inviting him to her birthday party. Lars happily goes to his desk, passing by Margot's cube, where Kurt, the incel, is threatening Margot. I know you stole my action figures, and if they're not returned to me, your teddy bear is going to get it. Lars shouts to Kurt, hey, it's your turn for coffee. And once Kurt leaves, Margot pops into Lars's and Kurt's cube and pulls an action figure out of her sleeve, waving it mischievously at Lars. I'm going to return them. Gradually, she says conspiratorially. She sees Cindy's car on his card on his cube wall. The only other thing on his cube wall is a picture of Gus and Karen, and asks if he's going to Cindy's birthday party. At first, he says no, but when Margot expresses that she was hoping he'd be there, he reconsiders. You know, maybe I could take my girlfriend. Margot is very surprised, but plays it off. Yeah. You totally can. I'll be taking a date, too. As the part inside of her dies.
That's another thing Larry said. He's like, oh, that poor girl. She got beat out for a doll.
Oh, I feel like that's my love life. I'm like, you'll like me. And then they're like, yeah, I'm not interested in you. I'm going to do bad choice number one. And I'm like, okay, feeling good now. Thank you.
Oh, I met this really interesting sock puppet right before I came out with you, and I think I'm going to pursue that. I'm actually seeing a ventriloquist drummy. Lars could have gone in so many different directions with this. He chose a real girl doll, but didn't want to have sex with it. He could have gotten like a fucking life-size stuffed tiger. He could have gotten a ventriloquist doll. He could have gotten just a mannequin and put it on roller skates and rolled it around with him.
Ooh, then we could have had like a roller disco opera kind of thing going on, like musical. It'd be like Xanadu, but in the 90s, it would have been amazing.
Yes. See? So many different directions she could have gone. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Karen and Gus are working on letting the community know. It's one part processing and one part paving the way towards acceptance of Blars. That's their couple name, Corinne writes.
Blars.
Bianca and Lars. Blars.
There's also like Laronka. I mean, that could be another possibility.
Blars. Nah. Blars works. Karen tells her friends, who pretty much take it in stride. Gus's co-workers have mixed feelings about it, while one of his co-workers explains to another that Bianca is an inflatable sex doll. No! Bianca is many steps beyond an inflatable sex doll. The nerve! Karen and Gus meet the church board, and there's various levels of disapproval until Miss Gruner gives the group a little reality check. Oh, for heaven's sakes, what's the big deal? Sally, your cousin puts dresses on his cat. Hazel, your nephew gave all his money to a UFO club. And Arnie, who is notably the most reluctant and crotchety of the group, everyone knows your first wife was a klepto. Arnie grumbles. No, she wasn't. Miss Gruner raises her eyebrows. Then why is she buried in a pair of my earrings? She turns to Karen and Gus. You have my support. Lars is a good boy. Arnie grumbles. Well, he's not bringing her to church now, is he? Reverend Bach? Reverend Bach lays down the ultimate smack. Well, we must think, what would Jesus do? And so next we see Bianca in a wheelchair in the aisle, hymnal in her lap. Lars sitting next to her and Karen and Gus on the other side. At the end of the service, Lars and Bianca are warmly greeted by the Reverend, and Miss Gruner gives Bianca a bouquet of flowers, welcoming her and telling her she has the most lovely figure. Lars whispers to Bianca, and the flowers are fake, so they'll last forever. Isn't that neat? Just like you, Bianca. Or will she?
When he said that, when he was like, the flowers are fake, and so they'll last forever, I was like, oh, some pieces of the puzzle are coming together here now. Okay. Picking up on some things. Oh, my brain hamster's like, yes, Corinne. It has the corkboard out with the red string. You're putting some things together.
Fake flowers never die. Oh. Later in the week, Lars takes Bianca for her weekly treatment with Dr. Berman. As Bianca is getting her quote-unquote treatment, Lars pokes his head into the room, and Dr. Berman invites him for a chat while they wait for Bianca to finish. Lars sits in Dr. Berman's office with the small baby blanket in its usual spot, hanging around his neck like a half-length scarf. The doctor asks Lars about Bianca's medical history, and he explains that her parents died when she was just a baby, but she just wants to be treated normal. He grabs a balancing bird, a palm-sized bird figure that balances magically on the point of its beak, and places it on his finger. He sees a photo of Dr. Berman with the man and gestures. Is that your husband? She confirms. Yes, he died. Lars looks up surprised from the bird he was spinning on his finger. Oh no, I'm sorry. You must get really lonely. She responds, not looking up from her paperwork. Sometimes I get so lonely I forget what day it is and how to spell my name. Lars chuckles softly, and Dr. Berman glances up at him. How about you? He smiles at her. You're funny. He deftly avoids the giant lonely elephant in the room and continues pretending that he's not lonely. Nope, nothing to see here. Not buying a real doll for a companion. No one's lonely on this side of the desk. During another session with Dr. Berman, Lars brings up that Karen, his sister-in-law, is great, but she's got a problem. She likes to hug everyone, and not everyone likes to be hugged. And for some people, it hurts. She finds out that it feels like burning when most people except for Bianca touch him. She offers to help Lars and does some preliminary testing of his tolerance for touch, laying a couple of fingers on his arm, no biggie, and then softly touching the side of his face, which causes him to jerk away. She quickly backs off and says they can work on it more later. Poor guy.
Yeah.
The day-to-day of Bianca is an experience. Gus and Karen have to deal with all the care of bathing and changing her, which can lead to some major struggle bus moments and pushes Gus to wonder how much longer they're going to have to deal with this. That's kind of bullshit. Like, I know that Lars is going through some shit, but he's like, I have this real girl. I can't sleep with them. So she's going to have to stay with you and you guys are going to have to do all the care around her. Okay? Okay, bye-bye. I'm going to be in my house.
Oh, right. And do you remember how difficult it was to dress Barbies? Can you even imagine what it's like to dress a freaking fracking real doll? Oh my gosh.
Or bathe it and then try to dry it.
Yeah, no, that real doll would not be being bathed. I will tell you that.
No. She'd be a dirty, dirty bitch in more ways than one if she was in my house. Meanwhile, Lars takes Bianca out to the woods to show her his and Gus's old treehouse. He wheels her out to the yard so she can watch him chop wood and takes her out to Cindy's birthday party. Our Bianca? I can't say anybody's goddamn
Bianca!
Bianca! Bianca, get out, Bianca! Are Bianca and Lars a hit or a disaster at Cindy's party? Well, we'll find out after the break.
Ooh. Oh no, what's gonna happen? What's gonna happen?
Yes!
We're back. Lars rolls Bianca up to Cindy's house, whispering assurances to Bianca. I'm okay. It's scientifically proven that everyone's favorite word is their own name. So if you say their name a lot, it'll make them happy. I'm not sure how scientifically proven this is, Tamara. How do you feel about the study, Tam? Do you think hearing your name a lot, Tammy, would make you feel happier, Tamara?
I don't know, Karen. How do you feel about hearing your name a lot? Corrine?
I didn't mispronounce your name Corrine. A single time.
I know. But you know, I have an affliction that makes me misspell people's names. So we'll just see. I'll let you know how it feels to have my name pronounced correctly a bunch of times. And you can tell me how it feels to have your name pronounced incorrectly a bunch of times. And we'll compare notes.
Well, I hate having my name pronounced incorrectly. It is something that I do not like at all. But I give grace to people who don't know, because my name is pronounced incorrectly all of the time.
Samesies. My mom was sadistic because everyone's all, Tamara? And I'm like, no, it's Tamara. They're like, oh, okay. And then they have a couple of moments where they still say Tamara? No, Tamara. Oh, I'm like, yes, there should be an E instead of an A there. I know.
No, but then they'd be like, Tamara? And you're like, no, no. But seriously, for those with social anxiety out there, ding, 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 me, I'm all for people clinging to whatever tool or factoid makes them feel more comfortable going into peoply situations.
It's too peoply out here.
It's so much peoply.
I want that coffee mug. Too peoply outside.
I think that's an important message to have at all times. I should have a tiara. It's too peoply.
I know. I kind of want to move to someplace more rural, and I wonder if I'd be happier just not going outside and being like blasted with droves and droves of people. Because, you know, LA's kind of a big city. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I thought it was like, you know, whenever you went outside, you heard.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's just like a father and son just walking down an empty lane with a fishing pole over their shoulder, you know.
Yes. In my 30s, L.A. sounded like a very good idea. In my 40s, I'm like, you might want to say something quieter. Low speed.
Lars takes a breath and rings the doorbell. Cindy answers it and warmly welcomes them both. Mr. Sunshine, and you must be Bianca. Come on. She takes a bottle of wine from Bianca's lap and says, oh, Bianca, thanks for the wine. Cindy calls over to her husband, Baxter, and introduces him to Lars and Bianca. And he, much like Gus, isn't really on the interacting with Bianca train, but still greets the both of them. Cindy asks, can Baxter get the two of you something to drink? Lars moves around to the front of Bianca, looking at her, and says softly, yeah, I know. I'm just having one. And then turns to Cindy. I'll have a beer, but just one, because Bianca doesn't like it when I drink. And Bianca won't have anything because she doesn't drink. Yeah, we all know she doesn't drink, Lars. We all know that. She doesn't drink at all. Margot approaches warmly and offers to help Lars and Bianca with their coats. Lars introduces Margot and Bianca to each other, and Margot is super nice about the whole thing. Later, Lars is hanging out in one room with Bianca and Kurt, and I'm wondering if Kurt is super jealous that Lars has a real doll and he doesn't, or is super shitty about the whole thing, or a little column A and a little column B. Tam, if Kurt had a thought bubble above his head when he saw Bianca and Lars together, what do you think it'd say?
Well, knowing Kurt up until this point, I think his thought bubble would say, wonder if he'll let me borrow her. I was thinking of getting one myself, but wouldn't mind a little test drive before I buy. You know what I mean? Winky, ooh, winky.
I think you're that being ding, 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 ding. You win the thought bubble round. Yes, I totally think you're spot on with that.
Right? Mm-hmm. That sounds like such a Kurt thing to say.
It does. Definitely. I didn't even think about borrowing Bianca, but he would. Yeah. Margot is in an adjacent room talking to her coworker, Lisa, who says, I'm so glad you sent out that email warning us about Lars. Margot vaguely smiles and nods, not wanting to get into it. And Lisa's boyfriend, Eric, responds, what a freak. Lisa agrees. I know. Do you think he has sex with her? And Margot swiftly changes the subject. Eric, Lisa says you're getting married. Eric flinches. What? No. And Lisa responds, yeah, we are. And Margot backs away, takes that opportunity to duck away from them, but not before her date comes up behind her gleefully announcing, Tickle Monster, and tickling her sides. Fuck off. Fuck off with that. Fuck off. No. Fucking people just trying to impromptu tickle you? No. Don't fucking touch me. Don't touch. No. No. I have no feelings about this.
Yep. I made that mistake back in 2004. Never again.
You get
Oh, note to self. Corinne doesn't like being tickled.
You get the scary eyes and the scary look when that happens. Not just you. Anyone. Yeah. Ooh. Oh, and people just come up and fucking do it to me. And I'm like, what? Do we know each other? Fuck off. No.
That's weird. I don't think I've had anybody come up and just tickle me out of nowhere.
It's probably because you wouldn't mind it as much as I do.
No, I don't. I don't think people. Nope. I just can't remember an incident where somebody's been like, she looks like she needs to be tickled. Do I? Do I really?
Maybe I should try it sometime.
I'm also not really ticklish.
Oh, okay. Well, then you've probably had some people try and do it to you and them just be like, let me surprise Tim with some tickles. And then nothing happens. And you're like, did I feel a light breeze? And they're just like,
why are you jabbing me in the side? What is happening here? Did you need something? Are you trying to get my attention? Are you okay?
Ugh. Lars sees the interaction between Margot and her date and a sad look flashes across his face. A little later, Lars and Bianca are settled in the living room and Victoria and Cindy are gushing over Bianca's hair. Victoria says, Lars would never let her cut her hair. Lars looks softly over at Bianca and sincerely says, I don't care. However she likes it, that's how I like it. Thank you, Lars. Another woman, Holly, states how she could use more wine, and Lars happily gets her more, checking in with Victoria and Cindy to see if they need a top off. He does a little silent communication with Bianca and then goes to the beverage table to get more wine. And at the beverage table are Jerry, a frat boy looking blonde and Kurt the incel. Jerry comments to Lars, Bianca's hot. And Kurt nods agreement. She's just like a woman should be. She doesn't know how hot she is. She stays with you because she doesn't know she could get somebody better. Jerry nods and then asks Lars, is she flexible? And Lars just stares at Bianca during this entire discussion, off in his own world. He moseys off as Kurt whispers conspiratorially back to Jerry, oh yeah, she's flexible. Wait, is Bianca having an affair with Kurt?
Gross. Oh, no. Bianca's not that type of girl. She's holy, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Very relieved because I don't think Kurt should be with any kind of woman.
Real or otherwise.
Real or otherwise. Later during the party, everyone is dancing and Baxter is dancing with Bianca and Cindy. And Lars is on the dance floor as well, slowly rocking back and forth with his eyes closed, looking happy. After the party, Lars is driving home with Bianca and checks in with her. Did you have a good time? There's a pause and you can hear Lars sniffle and cry a little bit and respond to Bianca. Yeah, I'm just happy is all. Okay, Corinne would have gone to Cindy's party for about 2 seconds and then left. Lars would never have gone to Cindy's party, but because he had Bianca, he could go there and he stayed there for quite a while. And he ended up like being able to engage with people and enjoy himself. And so like you start to see Lars's world opening up for him. And it's just kind of sweet.
So Bianca's his big whoopee.
Yes.
He doesn't need his little security blanket anymore. He's got a love-sized girl to carry around with him to protect him.
Exactly. Mm. A real doll wingman, if you will.
Mm. Oh, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, yes. I can see that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. This next section is called Bianca Becomes a Member of the Community. What? Is that right? Did you read that right, Tamara? Yes, I did. Lars and Bianca have another session with Dr. Berman while Bianca lies on the treatment table, quote unquote, recovering from her treatment. The doctor spends time talking with Lars, doing a combination of gentle touching and holding his arm to see how he tolerates it and talking about what's going on with him. He reveals that like Dr. Berman, Bianca can't have kids. He then ends up having a panic attack over the thought of Karen giving birth. Bianca's mom died giving birth to her, just like Lars's mom died giving birth to him. Dr. Berman assures him that medical science is much better now, and it's very unlikely that anything like that will happen to Karen. But he's not very reassured by this. Whatever you do, Lars, do not watch those birthing videos. That will just give you a ton more anxiety. Trust me on this one. We then get like to see Lars out and about in the community, wheeling Bianca around the mall. Sandy, who owns a clothing store, waves them down and asks if Bianca could be a model in her store afternoons, Mondays and Wednesdays, and all day Saturday. Lars and Bianca agree. We get to see the community support Lars more as Mrs. Gruner leans over a pew talking to Lars one Sunday, saying, "Bianca wants to volunteer at the hospital on Thursday afternoons. The cancer kids will love her." Then we see Cindy, Margot, and Laurel, the hairdresser, working with Bianca to figure out her signature hairstyle. She's getting a nice wispy bang and some layers. Cindy and Margot approve. In addition, Bianca's also apparently volunteering in nursery school. The community has rallied around Bianca, and in doing so, rallied around Lars, supporting him in a way that he can accept. So, I'm just, like, wondering what the end game is here. Are they trying to get Lars to be more independent from Bianca? Are they trying to show that they're supporting him? I appreciated the kindness, but I didn't understand what they were hoping to achieve by doing this.
I think that they are just trying to support Lars by saying, like, hey, we're embracing Bianca as part of our community, And so I think that that's like initially how it was. I think Mrs. Gruner, though, has more ulterior motives, because I think she wants to see him spread his wings a little bit, you know.
I was going to say, because that girl is busier than me. Uh-huh. Like, she's out like almost every single day. And I don't know. It just, when I see what happens a little bit later on in the movie between Lars and Bianca, I kind of like, okay, so is it a bad thing that they're doing this? And, you know,
I think it's beautiful.
I'm not saying it's not. I am not saying like I have any sort of problem with they're doing. I just didn't know what their end game was. Like, I didn't understand the motivation behind, if it was just merely supportive or if it was trying to get him a little independence from Bianca as a means to hopefully like wean him off of her. And then how did everybody get on board? The girl that had the clothing store, I'm like, oh, that makes sense. Like, hey, I need a mannequin and I want to model my clothes. All the other ones, I'm like, say what now? She's going where to do what?
I think they misplayed the reading thing, but with the nursery school kids, because they have her like sitting with a talking book and the kids all gathered around her, and that wasn't like so great. But like, one of the techniques that can help kids learn to read is to have them read to a stuffed animal or something like that. So they're sharing their story to somebody, but it's somebody who's non-judgmental, who's not going to speak, who's not going to prompt them. and it gives them the space, but they also have, you know, a companion to share it with. And so,
oh, well, then they don't know Bianca. That bitch is rude when it comes to mispronunciations. I would not be able to do a podcast with Bianca. She'd be all over me and my Miss Gruner faux pas.
She's like, all of a sudden, this voice pops loudly into your head. It's Gruner. get the guttural in there, Gruner. You're like, Bianca, no.
Gru, like, down deep, down. Gruner.
There are umlauts. There are umlauts. And forget about the Mrs. It's Frau. Frau Gruner.
But back at Gus and Karen's house, Gus is having a hard time as Lars dances with Bianca in his garage. Gus, who is sitting in a chair in the living room, asks Karen, he's not going to move on from Bianca, is he? Karen looks up from the couch where she's sitting and softly replies, no, I don't think so. Gus is feeling some feelings. You know, this is all my fault. I left her as soon as I possibly could. And then when we returned, we moved into the house all happy. And Lars moved out the garage like the family dog. And I let him. No wonder he ordered a fiance in a box. Karen has Gus come over and sit next to her and holds him. But things are moving and changing in Lars's world. He is engaging in his life and with people in a way he previously hadn't been. At work, he sees Margot flirting with the guy in the office and looks on with the most dissatisfied expression. He comes home and calls for Bianca. Bianca! Karen yells from upstairs, we're up here! He comes up and sees Bianca in the rose room wearing a rose sweater that really matches the walls. And Mrs. Gruner and Karen, they're getting her ready for the hospital volunteer banquet at the VFW. Lars is put out, but we were supposed to play Scrabble. Karen's puzzled. Are you sure? Her schedule's on the refrigerator. Did you forget? Lars responds, no, I forgot. Can I have a moment alone with Bianca? As Mrs. Gruner and Karen head downstairs, they hear Lars yelling at Bianca. When Lars puts Bianca in Mrs. Gruner's car, she chastises him. Now listen to me. Bianca has a life of her own. No self-respecting woman is going to be at your beck and call, and the sooner you learn that, the better. You're away at your job all day. What's she supposed to do, wait for you? Would you do that for her? Would she even ask you to? She's out in the community doing things for people less fortunate. You should be proud of her. Lars responds sullenly, but what about me? Mrs. Gruner rolls her eyes. You're just like my husband, big baby. Bianca will be back at 11. And she drives off, leaving Lars looking at the car's retreating taillights. Oh, Lars. I'll be like, I bought her, biatch.
Seriously.
She's my toy and you can't play with her.
Like, it's so interesting, though, because it's kind of like, here he is at Cindy's party and he's like, Bianca can have her hair however she wants. I just want her to be happy. And then there's his coworkers who are like, Bianca's the perfect woman. She's just going to be there for you however you want her to be there for you. And in some ways, that's what Lars needs, you know? And then it's also not what Lars needs, which is why Mrs. Gruner's like, and she's volunteering at the hospital now. Like,
yeah.
And if you say anything about it, you're getting some wisdom dropped on you, you know? And it's like, woo. She's refusing to let him stay in like this kind of sedentary place. I think that's super interesting.
Yeah. And I'm just like, how did she get everybody else on board with her? Because I'm watching the movie and I'm still kind of like, is that the right thing? And how did she must be very persuasive. She got everybody else on board. Like Bianca's dance card is full.
Bianca's dance card is full. You know, thank goodness for emails. And
but I'm just saying, like, the pushback that they got from the church in the initial, yes, like, uh-huh, let's tell you what's going on. I can't imagine that so many people would be like, yeah, that's a great idea. Let's take the doll away from him.
But it's not about taking the doll away from him. It's about acknowledging Bianca as a significant person in his life.
Right. But then I might argue, well, then she should spend time with him. If he wants the doll, it'd be like, let me take your blanket for an outing real quick. I'll be back in a couple of hours with it. Like, how healthy is that as opposed to his doll?
Because Bianca's supposed to be a real person, his blanket is his
baby blanket.
Oh, I'm not
saying that.
Blanket.
I know. But where he's, it's almost like a, like we said, like it's a coping mechanism.
Sure.
Just like his baby blanket, yeah, is. So, you know, there's just, I'm surprised that everybody just rolled with whatever Miss Gruner said. And there wasn't any pushback of people like saying, well, maybe we shouldn't do this. Maybe he needs to spend more time with the doll and we shouldn't interfere. Yada, yada, yada.
Well, I think that the doctor said that they should act like she's real. And I think that they were just like going upon that advice. And it's a small community. And so they, you know, the people who disapprove in the small community just keep it to themselves and talk about them behind its back. And the people who are
like normal town folk,
right? And the people who are on board, you know, are more expressive about it. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also wanted to say, like, I love Karen and Gus's relationship, and I think it's so interesting. You can see the dichotomy because you can see, like, Gus is open and he talks about his feelings with Karen, and he has a very different kind of relationship than he does with Lars, who he doesn't even really know how to talk to because they weren't raised knowing how to talk to each other, having that modeled, you know. And it's like his world opened up when he went out and he went away, but he's still stuck in the
Lars
past.
Lars is closed up.
Yeah. Lars is closed up and he's still stuck in the past in his relationship with Lars as well. And it's just so interesting seeing the dichotomy between the two different, you know, ways of dealing with things.
And the fact that Karen will wrestle and tackle a full grown man while she's pregnant, she's pretty badass.
That was amazing. I loved it when she did that. And I was like, Tamara's going to be the perfect person to read this part of the script.
You're coming to dinner whether you like it or not. Smack.
Let go of me. No, I'm not letting go.
I'm making salmon. You hear me? Salmon.
So after our many tangential conversations, Lars is pissed because Bianca is ditching out on him.
Exactly what I'm talking about. Exactly what I'm talking about.
Lars storms into the house through the front door. She's my girlfriend. I shouldn't have to schedule an appointment to see her. Karen, who is doing yoga, looks at the passing Lars as he exits the house through the back door into the backyard to angrily chop wood. Seems cathartic, but also dangerous. Karen follows him outside. Are you okay? Lars is definitely not okay. She just left me. Karen refutes this. She's going to be back soon. Lars is in no mood to hear this. How do I know that? People just abandon people. They don't care. Karen argues. They care. We care. Lars chops clumsily at the wood. No, you don't. Karen is pissed. Are you fucking kidding me? This whole town has come together. Bianca has all these things to do because the community has really embraced her because they love you. And Gus and I love you. We dress her, bathe her, put her to bed, change her clothes, and Bianca is a big girl. This is not an easy task, but we do it because we love you. So don't you dare tell me how we don't care. Karen storms back into the house, leaving Lars teary-eyed at the wood stump at a loss for how to feel or process anything.
That's a great point because I saw a comedian that was talking about lifting up his girlfriend. He's like, even if the girl's small, even if she weighs like a buck 10 or a buck 15, it's not like you're lifting up a weight at the gym that's all a uniform size and shape. You got heavy things here and different weights over there.
Yeah.
So he's like, you don't even know how hard it is just to lift a person up. It has nothing to do with strength. So I was like, ah, fair. Then we saw this movie and I was like, oh, I feel you, Karen. I feel you.
I'm just like, I just flash back to the whole trying to dress Barbies thing. And you just like, you make it that much bigger and you're like, fuck that shit. Do they have to use talcum powder to get her dressed? Like, I do not even know.
Let's get some fishing line and some clothes hangers and have at it.
That evening, Gus comes home from playing hockey with the guys and is surprised to find Lars in Bianca's room, laying on the bed with her. Lars casually asks, how was the game? Gus is confused and answers uncertainly, the cheese inspectors beat the crap out of us. Hey, Lars, is everything okay? We usually put Bianca to bed. Lars responds, yeah, I know, but I'm going to do it now. Gus tries again, are you sure? Because I don't mind. Lars tears up. Sorry, it's just been one of those days. No, we're fine. I can take care of it now. Gus resigns himself and says, okay, well, I'll leave y'all. Lars thanks him and Gus heads to bed. When he sees Karen, he immediately asks, what's going on? She pulls him into the room. Shh, we got into a fight. Lars and I got into a fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought she was referring, when I saw that line, I thought she was still referring to the Bianca and Lars getting into a fight for her leaving or whatever.
No, she's talking about her and Lars.
Which is, I'm like, I don't even register that as a fight. She was completely justified.
At work, Lars's cube has gone from having a picture of Karen and Gus and Cindy's birthday invitation to a ton of pictures of the experiences he and Bianca have had together. Margot introduces her new love interest, Eric, to Lars, and Lars is civil but not happy about it. Later, he goes to say something to Margot, but backtracks to his cube instead. Good choice, Lars. At Bianca's weekly doctor visit, Lars reveals that Bianca has been feeling pretty crappy. Also, he confesses to Dr. Berman, I proposed to Bianca last week, but she said no. Dr. Berman responds, oh no, I'm sorry to hear that. Lars does a half-hearted shaking of his fist in a curse your sudden but inevitable betrayal kind of ways, but it feels performative. Lars later argues with Bianca in the car. Stop yelling at me, he says to her. I don't like it. He tries reconnecting with her in the woods where they had previously had such a great time together, but it's not the same.
Man, when did Bianca become so shitty to Lars? God.
Well, you know, when your blood pressure is that low, you get really fucking pissy, okay?
She doesn't have low blood sugar. She has no blood sugar.
Yeah.
Lars has a conversation with Gus about becoming a man. Lars says that in Bianca's culture, there is rituals and ceremonies that mark passages of being a boy and turning into a man. Lars says, but there's nothing like that here. How do you know when you're a man? Gus doesn't have much of an answer, but ultimately comes up with, I think it's when you decide to do the right thing, even when it's not easy. And I think he's talking about how he ultimately returned home, but he doesn't want to put that on Lars. So instead he says, Dad could have just given us up for adoption or put us in foster care, but even though he was grieving and wasn't great at being a dad, he stuck around for us. I shouldn't have left you alone with Dad. He was so removed and I didn't know how to deal with him, so I just left, but I didn't mean to leave you in the process. Later, when Lars is at work, Margo comes over to him in Kurt's cube. That was like a touching moment where he's finally like, fuck, dude, I left because I had to get out of here, but didn't realize that I left you here to bear it alone.
Yeah.
Which is just so shitty.
But sometimes you got to save yourself before you can save other people. And it sucks.
It was kind of, yeah. I had a similar reaction when my sister moved to Fresno the first time. Because she went to Fresno while I stayed with my dad to go live with my mom. And it felt like abandonment, but it also was kind of a relief because her and my dad were always at odds. Mm-hmm. So it was like relieving some of the pressure that was already in our household. So that's probably where that noise came from, the guttural thing in the back of my throat that I didn't realize I did until you asked me.
It was such a unique
feeling
sound.
Some feels, I guess.
I know.
Yeah, feeling some feels that came from my 15-year-old self.
Aww.
Later, when Lars is at work, Margo comes over to Lars and Kurt's cubicle with her teddy bear. It has a noose around its neck. Kurt, you've gone too far, she says, shaking her teddy bear in his face. Take off the noose. But Kurt stands his ground. You steal my action figures and you're too old for a teddy bear. Your teddy bear's dead. Ugh. She cheerily retreats to the break room and Lars follows, giving Kurt the stink eye. He sits at the table with her and gently picks up the tiny bear. Margo tearfully says, you know, it's probably not even about the bear. I broke up with Eric and it wasn't for a good reason. I just thought he was boring.
That's a great reason. If you think the guy you're with is boring, you need a breakup. Yeah.
Lars tenderly removes the noose from around the bear's neck and starts chest compressions and mouth to mouth. In between, he asks, why were you with him then? Margo confesses, sometimes I get lonely. Corinne writes, I feel you, Margo.
That's the, yeah, same.
Lars props up the small bear and has the bear wave at Margo. He's been revived.
Aww.
She happily wipes her tears away and asks, what are you doing on Friday night? He confesses, I've got a school board meeting to go to. Bianca got elected. Why? She responds, I was hoping we could all hang out sometime. Lars uses the noose as a monocle to look at Margo through. Well, I could hang out with you after I drop off Bianca, but it'd just be me. She flushes excitedly. That'd be great. And heads back to her desk.
Ooh.
Curiouser and curiouser. Mm-hmm.
And now Tamara's going to replace me with some noodle salad because I took the bowling section. And bowling is her territoire.
Biatcha.
On Friday, Lars and Margo go bowling, and Lars is terrible at it, but he's having a cautiously good time with Margo. Their not date/date gets crashed by three other guys who know Lars and are looking for Elaine, and everyone has a good time, but I think it's a bit more than Lars expected to deal with. At the end of the evening, Margo thanks Lars for the good time, and he lets her know that he had a good time. Can we say good time a few more times? Are you having
good time? Good time, good time, good time, good time.
Are you having a good time, Tamara?
Having a really good time. I'm having a good time. Are you having a good time, Corinne?
I'm having a good time too. Thanks, Tam.
I think that Lars is having a good time and Margo's having a good time.
Yes, and I think
maybe we should check in with those other three guys.
I think those other three guys are all having a good time as well.
A good time trifecta.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, what is interesting is that you never say a great time. You just say good time.
Oh.
What does that say about you, Corinne?
I don't believe in fun. That's what it says about me.
I think you want to believe in fun, which is why you keep pushing the good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. You just want that that fun to burst out of you. You're just itching for it to burst out of you.
I need to get myself a real doll so that I can, you know, become more engaged in the community and then I can have a great time.
Oh my God. Do they make guy dolls?
Yes. Yes, they do.
Oh Lord. I have so many questions about the nether regions, but I'll save them.
I would be ordering
it
with a large nether region. That's all I'm saying.
So is, okay, then if now that we're here, might as well ask the question. Is it just walking around with a huge boner all the time? Is he always at attention? Or is it sometimes like you could pump him up when needed, but it could be flaccid when you don't?
I think it's always there, but you know, it, you just position it in special ways where restricted it to help, you know, yeah, flush things out a little bit when for the day to day hanging around.
Is the doll pointing north, or does it have like a Swiss Army penis so that it goes up and down if needed?
I would think it'd be flexible.
Okay, sure.
No. So you could helicopter it. Maybe a laser shoots out and you get a laser party. Boo, 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 boo.
I don't need any more of a party in my pants.
And the balls turn into disco balls.
Shiny disco balls. Disco, disco, disco. Shiny disco balls.
You just get some flashlights, put it in the center of roller rink, and you've got yourself a party right there.
Wow, a party in your pants.
Yes. Mm. Uh-huh. Party in
Look
his
at
pants.
That. Yeah.
Adults only. At the end of the evening, Margot thanks Lars for the good time. Oh, wait. Okay. No, we... yeah. Okay. Everybody's having a good time. Yes, we know. Steve, Corinne, Banner writing. Lars for the good time. He lets her know she had a good time. He had a good time. But more importantly than the good time that everyone is having, apparently, including Tamara and I, he would never cheat on Bianca. Margot is appalled. Oh, no. I would never do that. When I find a guy, he's going to want me for me. I won't need to steal him. They head outside and it's snowy. Lars has his hand outstretched to shake Margot's hand. And he's surprised to find that when they touch, it's nice. It doesn't hurt. They part ways as small snow flurries sprinkle from the sky. That week, when he meets with Dr. Berman, he expresses concern to her that Bianca's treatments aren't working, and also that his relationship with Bianca is uncertain. He knows Bianca loves him, but the fact that she's not willing to go further in her relationship with him is concerning to him. As well it should be. Oof.
And the next section is called Bianca Transitions. The next morning, Karen and Gus are awoken by Lars screaming, "Wake up! Wake up, Bianca! Wake up!" An ambulance is called and they discover that Bianca is very sick and she's going to be stabilized at the hospital and then be sent home, possibly to die. As Lars waits by Bianca's hospital bed, Dr. Berman explains to a very upset Karen and a concerned Gus that Lars is calling the shots about Bianca's health, aka maybe he's finally ready to move on. Bianca's driven home from the hospital by Karen and Gus with Lars in the back seat holding on to her. Once they get home, he sleeps with her in the Rose Room, and at some point he goes out onto the porch, and it's filled with gifts and flowers, all in support of Lars and Bianca.
Aww.
Then, at some point in Lars's vigil, he is roused by Mrs. Gruner, who has him come on downstairs where an impromptu knitting circle of supporters are sitting, knitting and lending emotional support. Later, Karen and Gus prevail upon Lars and Bianca to go out to the lake. When Karen and Gus go for a walk, Lars and Bianca stay sitting by the lake and Lars cries, gently kissing her on the lips. When his brother and sister finally return, they find Lars standing in the lake with Bianca in his arms. She has died. At Bianca's service, the Reverend talks about how she reached out and touched the entire community in ways they never could have imagined. Well, she is anatomically correct, after all. At the cemetery, Gus almost thanks Dr. Berman for all she has done for Lars and his family. Lars and Margot stand next to each other reflecting on Bianca and the nature of loss. And then after a long pause, Lars turns to Margot and asks if she'd like to take a walk. She says yes, and even though they don't end up sharing a dry kiss, I'd venture a guess that there's bound to be one in their near future. The end.
Yay!
Yay! So, Corinne, Seeing as this is one of your favorite movies, what do you give Lars and the Real Girl?
I give Lars and the Real Girl 4.5 dry kisses. I love this movie. This is not my first pick for the Free to Be You and Me theme. This is my second pick. But one of the inspirations for the Free to Be Me and You theme was Gonzo from The Muppets. And Gonzo is somebody who is very much himself. And he just can't help but be him. And he goes after what he wants. And he does him. And I feel like this movie is such a kind of a butterfly movie where Lars is initially living in this very confined, repressed place inside of himself, very afraid to occupy space. And as the movie unfolds and his relationship with Bianca unfolds, he also unfolds and grows as a person. And I feel like he's always been there as himself, but he becomes more expressively himself. And I felt like he became more of who he wanted to be by taking a very unusual tactic. Like, I would not think that having a relationship with a real doll would create such connection, but it really opened up his world in the most unexpected and beautiful way. And so I just love this movie. And I also feel very resonant with Lars as somebody who has social anxiety. A lot of the ways that he is, I'm like, yes, I want to be like that role model right there. Right. Okay. No, I'm not going to get a real doll. That's too much to deal with. But I feel a lot of his feelings. And so, yeah, I really like it. It would get 5 dry kisses if it had more diversity in it. But I do feel like the Cindy character was actually nicely embodied in the movie as opposed to some other characters where they like say 2 lines and that's it. And it's like, oh, look, we have somebody of color in the movie. So, I thought that was good as well.
They also had incel representation.
Oh, yay. We also had the Ku Klux Klan represented. I mean, that's important, right?
They did? Where?
No. The Ku Klux Klan was not supported, represented in this movie. But yes, there was incel representation, and it was not cute. Thank you. But yes, it's true. It was there. You are correct. And it had such a great cast, an incredible cast of actors in it. So, yeah, I just think it's such a beautiful, subtle, wonderful movie about unfolding and opening up. What about you, Tamara? How many dry kisses do you give Lars and the Real Girl?
This movie's not for everyone.
Yes.
It does not resonate with me as much as it resonates with you.
I didn't expect it would.
Yeah, I did appreciate how the community rallied around him. But I was just still too much of what the fuck throughout the movie. Like, I had questions upon questions about things. And I'm like, could he have gotten to this place if he just went to Dr. Berman without the doll, maybe? Like, could he have gone through different avenues to get to this end without the Real Girl? Yeah, I didn't feel like it was very much of a love story. There was, you know, Margot on the perimeter kind of trying to inch her way inside. And there will be a love story, I'm sure, ultimately. But as far as romances go, not very romantic. Bianca seemed like a lovely real girl, but she just didn't.
That was not the romance. The romance was Lars and Margot. And, you know, I feel like it's about the same amount of romances as was in Bridesmaids.
Yep. And I'm not knocking it for, I'm not saying like, oh, that's why it's a 3.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that at all.
Yeah.
Thanks for bringing up that, though. Appreciate it.
What?
Oh, I'm just saying that I'm not knocking it for not being a romance is what I'm saying. I'm just saying like I did not get the warm fuzziness of a romance And I feel like I didn't get it in the way that I should have gotten it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understood what was going on, but I didn't understand. Like, I kind of understood Lars's motivation, but then I was like, do you really think she's talking? Or is it the voices inside of your head that think she's talking? Like, do you really hear that? Or are you just making it up as a narrative to tell people? Like, that was just all of that conversation going into my head because I was really trying to understand. And it kind of took away from actually, like, just watching and enjoying the movie and, like, letting it wash over me because I was too busy trying to comprehend what I was seeing.
Mm-hmm.
So, other than that, it still was a lovely story about the town, you know, gathering around Lars, who was a very unique individual. And instead of him being ostracized and teased, they're like, well, we're just going to, like, take him in and take care of him, which I thought was very sweet. Yeah, I think might have resonated kind of close to home, too, because I have a brother that has mental health issues, and it's not always easy. There's mm-hmm. There's not always a clear-cut solution. So it's just the complications of it, too, was just like, oh my God, maybe it was just hitting too close to home. But it was fine, and I would recommend seeing it, so I'd give it 3 dry kisses.
Okay. You gave it a higher rating than I thought you might, so.
Well, I did like the fact that the town rallied around him. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was very sweet. And I do agree with the Gus and Karen relationships, that they were taking care of their brother and really trying to do right by him, which I thought was nice. And I have to give it 2 dry kisses just for that flinging the carnation into the forest bit, because I literally laughed out loud, and I rarely laugh out loud at movies, and like the way I did at that, and I don't know what the fuck it was, but that just tickled me in a way that I cannot even comprehend. So there's that.
Well, I appreciated you sharing about your feelings about Lars and the real girl, and I could talk for days about this movie. So on that note, what movie are we doing the Free to Be You and Me theme for April? Shower, spring, May, flowers.
I am going to be doing My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
Oh, do we need to bring Windex to our viewing of Big Fat Greek Wedding? Do we need to bring it to the podcast recording?
Yes, Windex cures everything. So put a little Windex on it.
Maybe I need to put a little Windex on my phone so I'll have better luck with my dating apps.
Yeah, you try that. We'll gauge it. We'll start like putting a little Windex on it, then a lot of Windex on it, and then dunking your phone.
Or maybe I should just, like, when I actually get a guy who shows up on the date, I should just douse them, like spray them down with Windex.
I'd pay money to see that. Really. You just see the guy going, oh my God, I finally found her. The girl that shares my Windex fetish. Yes. Yes.
Can't wait. Oh.
Nothing says sexy like the scent of ammonia.
Mm-hmm. I love some good Windex smell. If you have anything that you'd like to share about Lars and the Real Girl, about our theme, Free to Be You and Me, or anything else, feel free to email us at onedrykiss@gmail.com or reach out to us via the social medias on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook.
And that's one spelled O-N-E. And as always, we'd love to see any ratings and reviews if you have the time to drop them by anywhere you listen to this podcast. But in the meantime, we appreciate you stopping by, and we bid you adieu with one dry kiss. Mwah. See you next time.
Bless you.
Hesu!
Gesundheit.
Woo.
Want to go for 3? Oh, I've got another language left in me.
No, I'm good.
Okay. And you and me are free to be you and me. Book.